In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. It is finally time for the entrance into Great and Holy Week, as we celebrate the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. This is a time that we've been anticipating for a long time. We had a 40-day fast, we had those Sundays of preparation, and we've been anticipating this moment, this day, as we enter into this week. It's a time for us to be incorporated into the life of Christ. That we've fasted with him for 40 days as he did. We've gone up as his disciples to the city of Jerusalem. And today we go into the city with him, where this week we'll see him work the salvation of the world. We'll see him impart his final teaching, final words of truth to his disciples. We'll see him spill out his life-giving grace in his blood on the cross. And next Sunday, we'll celebrate his rising from the dead, the great victory of Christ, that victory of the fullness of his grace and his truth. Fullness of grace and truth. When we think about this entrance into the holy city of Jerusalem, we can't help but think about the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into the heart of each and every one of us. Because this is not just about some old historic event, but this work of Christ, the salvation that he brings, is about the ongoing work that he's doing in the lives of each and every one of us. As he entered into the holy city of Jerusalem, he's entering into our own minds, our own hearts, our own lives, to work that same salvation. In the book of Revelation, we hear some words. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me. This is, of course, the fulfillment of the words that Christ shares with his disciples, that he is the good shepherd. And he comes and he knocks on the human heart. And those who hear his voice, those who are his sheep, open the door of their lives to him. And they go in and out and they find pasture. They have life as it should be. They hear the word of God, and they live. Today we are going to celebrate the reception of Michelle and Riley Elizabeth into the Orthodox Church. It's fitting that this happens on the day that the Lord enters into the holy city of Jerusalem, because he enters more deeply into their lives, into their hearts, their minds, everything about them, so that he might work that salvation for them. The road of the catechumenate, that's the period in which someone is being joined to the Orthodox Church, is a long road. It's actually very much like unto the long road preparing us for Holy Week and Pascha. In fact, it even coincides in many times, because those who are being received into the Orthodox Church are received either on Lazarus Saturday, Palm Sunday, or they're received on Holy Saturday, just as we come to the celebration of Pascha. So our preparation and their preparation coincide. And what is this preparation all about? Anyone who's been received into the Orthodox Church as an adult knows that there are two main things that happen in our preparation. Our first is we make a confession of faith, a confession of the Lord's truth and the fullness thereof. We go through our minds and we root out all of those false teachings, all of those heresies, all of those ideologies that don't correspond to the gospel. We remove them. And then we confess the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he's firmly planted deep within the earth, that vine that grows in abundance. And we make this confession of faith. Likewise, the second thing that we do in our catechumenate is we make a confession of sins. Because we know it's not just enough to acknowledge the truth, but we have to live by that truth. The truth has to live within us. We confess those thoughts, desires, actions, words, those things that are sinful, those things that are fallen, those things that are different from true and authentic life. We confess all of that, and it's ripped out, it's rooted out through the process of holy confession. And instead is planted Christ, the true vine that brings forth an abundance. We receive the fullness of his grace. When we think about the events of today, as the Lord came to the city of Jerusalem, he came offering that fullness of truth, that fullness of grace. What did the crowds who have been listening to his teaching say about him? No one has ever spoken like this man. He speaks with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks as the Word of God. The very Word of God, incarnate and teaching us and establishing us in the truth. How about his grace? Did we not see the fullness overflowing into the lives of the people in Judea and Samaria? Did we not see him giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, strengthening the limbs of the lame and the crippled? People just tried to touch the hem, the fringe of his garment, so that they might be healed. He spoke the word and they were healed from a great distance. And just yesterday we celebrated the raising of Lazarus. He called the dead from their graves, even when they were at the point of corruption. There was a stench, there was a stink, there was decay and death. And Christ's grace brought about newness of life, the fullness of grace. When our Lord comes to the city of Jerusalem, he weeps over the city. He weeps. It's supposed to be a time of great joy, and it is for the crowds in a sense. They're crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our Savior is here, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who gave us this wonderful teaching and poured out all of these miracles and his grace. The fullness of time has come. And yet our Lord weeps over the city because he knows what will happen. He knows that those cries will be changed. And he knows that the fullness of his truth and the fullness of his grace will be rejected. As Christians, we can sometimes fall into the temptation of saying, I would never have done that. I would have acknowledged Christ. I would have embraced his truth. I would have accepted his grace. I would never have cried out, crucify him. His blood be on us and on our children. And perhaps we wouldn't, because not everyone in the city of Jerusalem did that. His mother did not. The disciples who wavered in their faith, they came back, some of them, to the cross. St. John the theologian was there. There were those who retained faith in Christ, though they staggered and they stumbled. But there were also those who not only didn't retain faith, but turned on the Lord. Remember Judas and his betrayal. Remember the Apostle Peter and his denial. These were disciples. They were among the 12. They were chosen by the Lord. And they turned. They didn't accept that fullness of grace and truth. We often wonder, if Christ came today to our own cities, how would he be received? Would we accept him? Or would we reject him? Would we accept him in the fullness of his truth, in the fullness of his grace, or not? You know, the Lord spoke many things to the disciples, and I've got a whole list here. I would love to read to you all of the words, and we will read them during Holy Week, but we cannot today. I'll share with you a selection. Here's what the Lord says to the disciples. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto me for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They do not know the Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other had done, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Seen and hated both me and my Father. Very strong words. Very strong words. Seen the Father, because those who have seen the Son have seen the Father. And hated, because those who have persecuted and hated the Son persecute and hate the Father. We think about persecution in today's world. Turn on the news. You can't watch 2 minutes without seeing Christians being persecuted. Look at the Middle East. Look at Africa. Look at India. Look wherever you want on the globe, Christians are being persecuted. What about America? Are Christians persecuted in America? Let's think about this. Are Christians put to death in America? No, not yet. We don't have that. But are Christians persecuted nonetheless? Absolutely. And why? Why is that? Why was our Lord persecuted? Why did he say the disciples would be persecuted? Because of the rejection of the fullness of his truth and of his grace. America is 80% Christian. 80% Christian. We are a Christian nation. And yet, would we receive Christ? It's a mind-blowing question. Why would we even ask that question? Will we receive Christ? Will we welcome the fullness of his grace and truth? Well, do we welcome the fullness of his grace and truth? When he went into the city of Jerusalem, why didn't they welcome him? Some said, because this man eats and dines with tax collectors and sinners, right? He associates with those who were harlots, those who were sexually immoral. The Samaritan woman and the other Samaritans. He's willing even to teach the Gentiles, the Greeks who came to him. Why is he associating with sinners? We can't accept this. He will not be our king. They rejected the fullness of his grace, which was offered to everyone. How about those who rejected the fullness of his truth? Remember, they took up stones one time to stone to death. The Lord said, what are you stoning me for? What good work have I done that you're stoning me for? They said, we're not stoning you for any good works, but we're stoning you because you made yourself equal to God. We're stoning you because you said you are the Son of God. Stumbled at the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Even before Pilate. When the Lord tells him that the very reason he's come into this world is so that he might bear witness to the truth, what does Pilate say? What is truth? What is truth? What do we say in society? What is truth? Is there truth? Is there an absolute truth? Is there a truth from God? I don't think we say that in society. We say truth is relative. No one knows if there's an absolute truth. You have your own. When we look at our Christianity in America, and Orthodoxy is just a small sliver of that, but when we look at all of Christianity in America, we wonder if Christ is really welcome anymore. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a segment of Christian believers who are not willing to accept the fullness of Christ's grace, not willing to share his love with all different types of sinners, like us. We're not interested in loving gays, homosexuals. We're not interested in loving drug users or criminals. We're not interested in loving the mentally insane or those who have other kind of illnesses. We're not interested in that. And what we do is we cling to that which we are interested in, the truth, that certain people are living in sin. And we cling to that truth so much that we don't even have our hands open to receive the fullness of grace. And on the other side, of course, because there's you fall off to the right and off to the left, there are those who say, well, let's love and accept everybody the way that they are, and there's no reason for them to change. Truth is relative. There is no sin anymore. Let grace abound to the destruction of truth and to the one who brings that truth. When we err to the right, when we err to the left, we err. And we reject Christ. And we push him out of our nation, out of our society. But this can only happen, like it did in the city of Jerusalem, if it happens within the heart of the human being. This is the key. The Lord is rejected in Jerusalem, not because of the city walls, not because it was under the Romans, not because of the temple. It was because of the people. They had no room for him and his fullness. Why do we reject Christ in America? Because we reject him personally. We don't have room for the fullness of his grace and truth. Next Sunday, we'll gather here again. And we'll read the Gospel of St. John. And we'll read about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone into the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as have received him, to them he gave them power to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath made him manifest. Christ has made God manifest. And we embrace him fully, completely, into our hearts, into our lives, into our nation, into our world. I want to close with the teaching of Father Alexander Schmemann. He says that Christ did reign on earth as a king for just hours. And when was this? Palm Sunday, right? Where everybody held in their hands palm branches and they cried out, Hosanna, our Savior. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They opened their city and for a time they opened their minds and their hearts and their lives. And he came in and he reigned. Father Alexander Schmemann reminds us that our acceptance of Christ cannot be short-lived. It cannot be a one-time thing. It cannot be just as we're joined to the church or if we were baptized as children. It cannot be once and done. This is not salvation. Our acceptance of Christ, our holding of these palms, our crying out Hosanna, has to be an eternal acceptance, an eternal cry, an eternal salvation. A fullness of the acceptance of his grace and truth. May the Lord make it so. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.